Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for parenting once again. Afternoon at newstalk.com. If you'd like to send in questions for Joanna Fortune. Joanna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We have a 2.5-year-old son and his childminder has been absolutely incredible. For nearly 2 years now, we've dropped him off at a childminder's house and she's minded him alongside her own two children. He loves it there, gets on so well with her own two sons. She broke the news to us a few months ago that she's decided to go back to work and go back to her old job. So she wouldn't be able to mind him anymore and we don't know how to tell him. We only have a few more weeks of this arrangement, but it's going to break his heart not to see his childminder and the two kids every day, as he usually would. How do you tell a toddler that he won't see his friends anymore? We, of course, will try and arrange the odd play date if we can, but realistically, it's a big upheaval for the routine. My wife is going to take a month off while we figure out our next steps, childcare-wise, which is pretty stressful. But the main thing is, we're worried about how he'll manage it. It's a massive transition and he's going to miss them so much. How do we explain it to him? He's 2.5.
Yeah, it's a doing, not saying. But there's a few things in this, Sean, that jump out. You know, I know this parent is saying it's going to break his heart. So you've only a few more weeks and you haven't told him. Avoiding telling him won't avoid the fact that it's going to affect him. And all you're doing is kicking the can down the road, but you still have to deal with it. I'm also struck that your childminder told you a few months ago. And here you are with a few weeks to go and you haven't moved forward. And I don't say that with judgment because this letter sent a shiver down my spine because yes. I would dread this news from my childminder. Our childminders are so, so important to us. They're precious, beloved parts of our family. So this is a big deal. And it sounds to me like as parents, as adults, you're grappling with it. You know, that to hand your... I mean, this little guy has been with this lady for... you know, nearly 2 years. So about 6-7 months old when he was going there. Like to hand your little baby over to someone is such an exercise in trust.
I must say, I was wondering, who's going to look after her kids now?
Well, I was kind of, isn't it funny? I was kind of guessing that her kids now must be a bit older and, you know, in school or have an after school arrangement.
Maybe this
was while they were little. You see the way we knit a story there without any facts to back that up at all, how we did that. But I do think, you know, taking care of yourself, you know, as parents, as adults is the first thing and allow yourself to acknowledge that you're going to miss her. Mm-hmm. And that you wish this wasn't changing because you've now got a situation where you've one month and you've had these few months. I don't say this lightly, Sean, because we all know how hard it is to get a childcare place. So I'm not saying like you've clearly been sitting on your laurels for a few months and you've nothing in place. But I'm just saying, look how long it's taking to get something in place. Children love certainty. They love clarity. They love consistency. You don't have it to give him right now. So I think how you approach this is going, first of all, you do have to tell him. But remember how you tell a 2.5-year-old is through visuals. I think it would be nice to put a photo book together or even a poster board. And the poster board would just have, you can draw it or you can take photos, something that represents your home, your childminder's home, all the people involved and a little bit of blue tack on the back of the people photos. And you're just moving him where he's going to be. OK, and you can send the childminder off to her work. So he has a visual of where is everyone going to be when we're not together. Hope that makes sense. You would draw your house and his parents and he would be at that house. The childminder's house and her family are there. But you're going to move her towards this mystical place called work that kids know nothing about. They just know it's where grown-ups go. And he knows it's where his parents go. So he has a frame of reference for that. So do a little visual with that with him. Do it soon, though. Because for him to internalize it, he needs to see it and see it and see it. Afford him the opportunity to say goodbye. Because as well as learning and integrating this through a visual, he will do it through experiential. And that means maybe having a picnic party to say goodbye. You know, making a card with his little handprint and all of those things that you can do. And a little gift. And the gift from a 2.5-year-old should be sentimental. I mean, you can get her a nice gift yourselves. That's fine. But whatever he'd like to bring, even if it's daisies from the garden, it doesn't matter that he feels he's giving a card and a gift and saying goodbye. And there is that little party piece. In the meantime, in this transitional month, try to keep whatever his existing routine is as consistent as possible. So mirroring the kind of times he gets up, gets ready, the little bits that he'd go through in his day. And then whatever new arrangement you land on. And I imagine if you're... wife has taken a month off work, I'm inferring that you have something in place.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a month to access it and then ease him into the new arrangement, whatever it is or wherever it is. Ease him in, even while, if it's possible, while you're still on leave, to start doing little bits of walking by, pointing it out, talking about it, maybe a half hour, maybe an hour, you know, really gradually easing him in, because it's a big change. And he will feel it rather than think it.
Mm.
So he's not going to sit down and go, gosh, I really miss, really miss Mary. I really liked going to her house. It's a big change for me. He's not going to say that, but he is going to show you, where's Mary gone? I really want to go back there. That's where I want to be. So expect and prepare for a little bit of behavioral regression as well. Mild to moderate now, nothing too dramatic. And, you know, that could linger for 4 to 6 weeks while he is adjusting to a new placement.
Yeah, because I can see now, you can give a visual representation of Mary's going to go to this other place called work now. It might be a bit trickier to explain to, you know, the way Toy Story, she has to go to a creche and she goes for one day and she thinks that's all she has
to do.
Oh,
well, I did it now.
Yeah, I'm finished.
It's the permanence of it.
It's hard for a two-year-old to grasp.
And the only way they're going to get that, to be honest, is through experiencing it repetitively. You know, so you're going to do it and do it and do it.
Every day, again,
a little bit of resistance is to be expected. Don't take that as, oh, they hate it, I'm traumatizing my child. It is a little bit of mild to moderate resistance is a way of going, well, it's not how I thought it would be and it's not what I'm used to. Mm. We'd all protest a little bit at that.
Sure.
And then it's about an adjustment. But I think because he's had that lovely privilege of being minded in a very small, intimate family setting in somebody's home. So if it is to a larger childcare setting where there's more children and it's a group care environment, that's a big transition. I'm not saying don't do it, but just be mindful that that's not just a new minder, that's a new care environment. So that transition has to be managed even more carefully.
Yeah. My two sons, one is 7, one is 9, massive fans of sport. They play basically every game under the sun and spend most of their time watching sports on TV or YouTube. I played Gaelic football myself well into my 30s, so their passion was a great way for me to get back into the habit of going to games. My sons are always at me to take them to matches, be it rugby or GAA or soccer or whatever. Sometimes these are big games in Croke Park or the Aviva, and sometimes they're just local senior teams playing down the club. So I take them to these games where they can meet up with their friends and sit with them. As a result, I've gotten to know the other dads quite well. They're a lovely bunch, but the issue I'm having is that they're very big drinkers. We might meet in the pub beforehand and afterwards if we're going to the stadium or sit in the club until the last possible moment before the game starts, if it's a local match. My sons are exposed to a lot of drunken behaviour, and I'm not sure this is something I'm particularly comfortable with them seeing. I don't want them to associate sport with drinking. Outside of this context, I would never bring my kids to a pub, but now I feel like I've let this go on too long to pull the rug from under them. What should I do?
Pull the rug from under them.
Yes.
There you go. Absolutely.
Next.
I mean, of course you can do that. There's something in this that really, you know, something has gotten confused here. There's a group of people who enjoy the sport and the social aspect, and they happen to have children.
Yeah.
And those
yeah.
children also play the sport. But those two things don't necessarily mix well together. You can bring the kids to the matches. That's brilliant. Absolutely do that.
Mm.
But then I'm wondering if as a group of... It sounds like a group of I don't know if it's all dads, but a group of parents together that you can opt out of that pub bit and say, look, we'll see you at the grounds. We'll see you there. We'll see you in the stadium, whatever it is. And then suggest a parents' night out, a dad's night out as a separate event. Let's all go for pints another night without the kids.
Mm.
Let's all, you know, do whatever it is, our own 5-a-side, 7-a-side, and then go for drinks afterwards. But I think you actually can take some control of this. I think keeping sports and alcohol very separate is always a good idea, especially around children, you know. Mm. And it doesn't sound like this parent is comfortable, to be honest. It sounds like this is not how you would choose to bring your kids to a match, but you've kind of fallen into somebody else's agenda.
Okay, yeah, what I was inferring from this is that the other dads bring their kids into the pub, and their friends with our correspondence kids, and so his kids will now go, well, we can't go and meet our friends.
You can see them. You can see them in the grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to have to take that line on this. Either that or... or because I mean, if you were sitting here saying like, oh, I'm really, I love it, it's part of our thing, it's how we do it, I'd say, well, okay, that's your choice and you're happy with it. But this isn't a parent who's happy with this. Like, this is riddled with, oh, I have an uh-oh feeling about this. This doesn't feel right. And if it doesn't feel right for you or your kids, stop it. Like, just take that control back. Like, you know, and if the children are all with you in the pub, just be mindful. They are soaking up everything they're seeing
Absolutely,
and hearing.
Yeah.
It is an adult environment at the end of the day. So the pub isn't under any obligation to make it a child-friendly environment. It's for adults. Model really kind of all of what you can do around it's the sport. Keep it about the match. Talk about that and bring, you know, the drinks and the snacks that you're going to have together. Make it about the fun at the match rather than before the match.
Yeah.
The before the match or after the match is an adult experience. The match itself is about the kids. So if you're saying this is about bringing the kids to the match, just go to the match.
Yeah. Myself and my wife have a four-year-old boy. We had always wanted to have a child together and are delighted with our little family. It has never been part of our plan to have another child. But in recent years, I have to admit, our resolve has been wavering. This is primarily fueled by our son. He often speaks about how his cousins and friends are brothers and sisters and he doesn't. Although he's rarely outwardly upset about this, the sheer amount of times he mentions it has made us believe that it's something that really bothers him. He has said explicitly that he wishes he had a sibling. At first, we were of a mind that we couldn't let this influence such a huge decision for us and for our family. And we hoped that he'd eventually grow out of the idea and this would just be a phase. If anything, though, he seems to mention it more and more. If I'm honest, we're slowly starting to reconsider. Is it ridiculous of us to be thinking of changing the course of our family's life? Do we have anything to worry about in regards to him being a lonely, only child? Is this a phase that kids grow out of? Both my wife and I had siblings, so this is a totally new situation for us. Any help would be appreciated. Interesting.
It is interesting, but I suppose, you know, really have a think. Go back to why you decided to have a single child family, okay? Because this was clearly a conscious decision. It's stated explicitly so. And then reflect on your thoughts around this. Have they changed? Like your own thoughts, because there's something about this, you know, that you've been wavering for a few in recent years. The child's only four. So I don't know how long his demand for a sibling has been influencing versus you doubting your decision.
Yeah.
And you know yourself, if you have a little niggle of I wonder, have we done the right thing? It wouldn't take more than a child going, but I really want a sibling, for you to go, oh, there's my niggle amplified out loud for me. So just be kind of in a reflective way, look at where did this start from? Did it really start with your four-year-old or was it a little question? Might have been a whisper that's now become a roar, but it might have been a whisper all along, because that's really about you questioning what about this has changed for you and having that conversation. The decision, of course, and you say it yourselves, you know, that you said at first you were of a mind we couldn't let it influence. Of course it can't be the reason you have another child. Your four-year-old saying, right now I feel like a sibling, what are you going to do when he goes, oh, I changed my mind? You're not going to give the sibling back. So he can't influence you one way and then not the other way. So this has to be, I mean, really what he's saying, he explicitly says he wishes he had a sibling. Like, he's really kind of, wistfully lamenting the idea of a sibling, not the reality of a sibling, because he's four and couldn't possibly have a clue about that. But it's also not his call to make. So when you say, is it ridiculous? No, it is not ridiculous for you to be revisiting this and hearing him and weighing it all up. But it is perhaps emotive.
Yeah,
that you are making an emotive choice. And that's exactly, that really makes sense. This whole idea of lonely, only child is such a dated trope. There is zero evidence to back it up. And you've already outlined in this letter that he has cousins, he has friends. I am not hearing any kind of loneliness.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just nip that in the bud. Lots of people have single child families. Sometimes, you know, you might find offering to babysit a baby cousin for a day might nip his desire to have a sibling in the bud. And that's something well worth thinking about doing. And also for you to think about it.
Absolutely.
But be realistic of what it means for your family, because this shouldn't be so. I don't think it is something you're writing into us. It's not something you're taking lightly, but it is something you're clearly going, we either do this now or we stick with our decision. Mm-hmm. Also, bear in mind that having a sibling now, there will be certainly a 5-year age gap. At least,
yeah,
by the
yeah.
way, at least between them. So be realistic about whatever fantasy you think having a sibling is going to look like.
They won't be playmates. That'd be too much of a gap.
No, they may when they're adults have perhaps, a really yeah. lovely friendship and yeah. relationship. But during the childhood years, developmentally, they will be quite far apart. And that doesn't mean they won't get on.
Mm.
It's just really question what's fantasy versus reality here. And if when you sit down together, because this is we had decided, we thought, make sure you're both still on the same page with this. But if you're both questioning it, maybe have a think
yeah.
with each other about, in all honesty, has your decision changed? And is it that you would both like to have another baby?
Should they say, if they say decide, no, that's it, one and done. Do you say it to the four-year-old when they bring it up or just kind of deflect
I think
on
with
it?
A four-year-old, well, I wouldn't ignore it. I would just say, oh, you know, some people have siblings in our family. There's you, me, other parent, mm. you know, that's our family, you know, and just say it as a fact. You don't have to get into any, look, we made a decision not to have any more. Yes. You don't have to do that, nor do you have to apologize, nor do you have to. You just simply say families come in all different kinds of sizes, you know, and our family is three people. We're a triangle.
Yeah.
And you just talk about, and four-year-olds know what a triangle is. So, you know, that's how you talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Get a dog.
Oh, Sean, that's a whole other question.
Yes.
That's a whole other question now.
But you charge extra for answering
yeah.
that one. Our seven-year-old was sick with a serious illness between the ages of 4 and 6. Thankfully, she made a great recovery and is back doing all the normal things a child her age should be doing. Obviously, we're extremely relieved and delighted to see her happy and healthy again. She missed a lot of creche and school over the course of those 2 years and has taken a lot of work on the part of her and her teacher, who's been fantastic, to get back to the level of the rest of the kids in our class, but thankfully she's right back up to speed now in terms of her academic development. Socially, though, she still has a ways to go. My sister has 2 daughters. One is 7, the other's 4. Before her illness, my girl and my older niece were good pals, but I notice now that when we visit her cousins, my daughter gravitates towards her younger cousin and seems much more comfortable in her company than with the older sister. Her teacher has also suggested that she is finding things difficult socially with her classmates. She's been through so much already, so I don't want this illness to impact upon her friendships and her ability to play and enjoy herself. How do we get her back up to the level of her peers in this regard? Or is it something that will happen organically eventually?
I think this makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. She's doing exactly what we would expect a child who's had this experience. And how wonderful that she's made a recovery, by the way,
yeah.
because I can't even imagine the stress for her is one thing. But as parents, the stress of a seriously ill
yeah.
young child. So but she became unwell at the age of 4 and now she's gravitating towards playing with 4-year-olds. So what happened to her
yeah,
at 4
yeah.
is the typical pathway of social emotional development was thwarted. It was interrupted. And it became about her illness and her well-being and her physical body and keeping her well and, you know, and recovery, moving her towards that. So it's almost like if you can imagine you've hit pause on one pathway of development for her to get her there. So, you know, she's missed some of those typical developmental transitions. So at 7, you know, you'd have gone through these kind of stages of play we've spoken about here before and you'd be transitioning now at 7, once you hit 8, into this next stage of childhood, more middle childhood. She's sounding social, emotionally very much still at early childhood level. And again, I would expect that with a child who's had her experiences. So yes, give her time. When you say, will it happen organically? Give her time. Make sure she has activities outside of school. And I would make sure there are activities that do have children who are a year, certainly below her, if not 2 years. So maybe 5 to 7-year-olds, that kind of age group, so that she has that opportunity to play as she needs to. Because simply saying be 7 isn't going to do it. She has to have those play experiences that younger children
yeah.
have so that she can be 7 and catch up. I do think, Sean, some play therapy, some non-directive, in a very proactive way, play therapy could be very helpful because in that play space, it would have all of those access to play that we're talking about, the type of developmental play. And that could allow her to close a few of those play gaps because she would be playing in a way with the play therapist
yeah,
that would enable yeah. her to catch up as well. I think that opportunity should be explored for her just to work that through. So it's a mixture of giving her time, making sure she has a variety of activities. You could, of course, do a few play dates, but don't become too rigid or controlling about that. She's only a year beyond the point of illness, when illness ended, give her a little bit more time.
Yeah, but she will get there.
She will get there, absolutely.
Afternoon at newstalk.com if you have any questions for Joanna. Joanna Fortune, thanks
a
million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on Newstalk.